Welcome, Spartans, to Podcast Evolved, your home for Halo. I'm your host, Aaron, and with me this week we've got David.
Hello, everybody.
We've got Krista.
Hello.
And we've got Orin.
What's up, everybody?
I read the names in a different order and it completely threw David there. I could tell he wasn't prepared.
It did a little bit, just a little bit.
Wasn't ready at all.
If you're listening to this show and you're noticing the chaos, then you can tell that it's a live show already. We are live on Discord. If you want to come and join us, we will have a lot of new shows up and coming. So we do all of our new shows live now. So you can come and listen to it unedited in all its chaotic madness and listen to some music before the show starts, because I'm going to make that a thing now. On this episode, we have a little bit of stuff to cover. We have ODST out on Master Chief Collection on PC, and we've got Firefight on the Xbox. And Microsoft went and bought a tiny little indie games company. Some of you may have heard of them. They made this thing called Skyrim.
I've heard about that game. It's a cute little, they have it on every platform. It's kind of strange, actually.
Fallrim.
It's just like this thing that you slap a load of mods on it and it's fine. And they made some sort of, like, Nazi punching simulator.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I hear that's quite fun. That second game's probably just wheelchair simulator. It's the best way to describe it. That's a ridiculous level. So good. So we're going to talk about that. And also, if we have a minute, we might talk about the hard drive sizes on next-gen consoles, because that seems to be something we know now.
I love talking about size.
I'm not going to edit that out.
You should edit a longer silence.
Or like a tumbleweed sound or something. Some crickets.
All right, before we jump into the show, we've got a little social stuff to take care of. You can check out our awesome website, halopodcastevolve.com or halopodcast.com. It has links to all of our social stuff, as well as said Discord, if you want to come and listen to the live shows, or just in general, you want to come and chat to people. It also hosts all of our episodes of our podcast. Because we've been doing this so long, not all the old episodes appear on the feed anymore. If you want to get into the backlog, the website is your place to be. We have the regular show, like this, so you can come and listen to that. We also have Mission Debrief, and that is a deep dive into all of the Halo games mission by mission. We are about to run out of Halo games, so that may soon be on temporary hiatus.
The end is nigh.
Yeah. We have Halo Book Club. And that is where we go through all the extended lore, media, and other such things. We are running short of some things there. But there's a new book coming out soon, so we will have a fresh book club.
Ooh.
I know. A nice, juicy new book that was delayed slightly.
Yeah, we could be reading it right now.
Yeah. We also have Builds with Blocks, and that is the show centered around our micro-action figures and brick-based construction sets. And I believe if you go and hunt some of the Builds with Blocks stuff, Tom got a Pelican? Is that our most recent upload on Builds with Blocks? Or was that strictly on the YouTube?
I think that might be on YouTube.
Go to our YouTube and go and check out videos there, where people have things. And we also may have some Builds with Blocks news coming soon, which we'll let the guys tease. If they haven't already, because I may not be entirely up to date. I'm like 4 episodes behind.
That's better than me, I will admit.
I only really listen to the episodes I edit. That's how I know what's happening here. Right, going from that, you can also check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/HaloPodcastEvolved. We offer a variety of exclusive rewards for our patrons, such as early episodes and swag. And we would also like to take a moment to thank all of our patrons. By the way, if you are a patron, you can chat to us before the show. You get extra privileges.
What?
If you're not a patron, you get to listen to us chat to the patrons before the show. And it's kind of like being a voyeur and watching.
Nice.
So either way, you get something out of it. So thank you, patrons.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And I also want to butt in real quick and just say that if you are a patron and you haven't received the reward, we're usually pretty good about reaching out to people. But I think there are a few people who have not necessarily reached out to us. So like double check, because you might have a new reward that you can redeem. So I just wanted to say that for anyone who might be listening that's a patron.
I like rewards. Rewards are good.
Rewards are great. I mean, we have them there to share with everybody.
Come and join us if you want, or another way to support us if you would like as well. You can sign up for an Audible trial and that will help us out greatly. It's audibletrial.com/podcastevolved, and you can get many wonderful things out of Audible. Specifically, you really want all the Halo books. It'll take you a while, but you can collect all of them. It's like Pokemon.
Whoa.
You can get the whole set. But they also have a lot of other cool stuff there. Personal recommendation, use your one Audible credit and get like the 75 hours of the Sherlock Holmes collection. And it's all narrated by Stephen Fry. If memory serves correct, quite good. If you want 75 hours of Stephen Fry in your life.
Nerd.
What? You don't like Stephen Fry?
Not 75 hours of Stephen Fry.
I like that. That was like 3 months of my commute.
Didn't Stephen Fry do the audiobooks for like the Harry Potter books?
He might have.
I believe he did. I never actually listened to those. I think they're on Audible now too. For a long time they weren't, but then again, I think people aren't touching too much Harry Potter at the minute, so...
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not going to go near that one, just in case.
Run.
Right, we are going to bounce from that into last week in Halo. I am going to just say that I did know Halo, so we will go with Oren. Oren, tell me you did some Halo.
So I did a little bit of Halo. I logged on to Master Chief Collection after the update, and I saved all of my season points so that I could just buy all of the season upgrade for this season, because I mostly play Halo 3 multiplayer on Master Chief Collection and kind of dabble in the other games here and there. So I really wanted the customization options that they added. So I did that. And then there's a really cool nameplate in there. I don't know if you guys have taken a look at it, but it's like a keyboard because of the soundtrack from ODST. And so I'm rocking that nameplate, really liking it. But haven't been able to dive into any ODST content yet. I would love to get a firefight group together in the future with maybe some of the people in the Discord. I think they were trying to put together a game night. So I want to try to do that. Because I don't know about you guys, but I've done the indoor achievement actually several times just because I really liked ODST Firefight when it came out.
What's that achievement?
It's the one where you have to complete 4 sets of Firefight. And so you have to go through, I think they're sets. Yeah, because it's...
I can never remember how they break down.
I think it's rounds is the middle part.
We don't know ODST.
5 waves equal a round, 3 rounds equal a set, and then you can go on for as many sets as you can. But after 4 sets, all the skulls are effectively on, and once you do the last like bonus round of set 4, and then you go into set 5, then you get the achievement. So I did that a few times back in the day. I don't know if I want to do that next week, but I would love to still get like a 4-person squad and kind of rock it out and do what we can do. So what I've also done this week that I wanted to give a little tease to our fans who are listening, and then our listeners that listen to, I guess, the people who are here live, and for the people who listen to the show when it releases, is that I got an early copy of Shadows of Reach.
Yay! Galleria finally is sending everyone the books.
I, of course, can't say anything about it, but I'm hoping that maybe we can do something to where, like, I record something, but I don't want... Maybe I have to edit it because I don't want you guys to get spoilers, and then we can maybe drop, like, a teaser or something on release day or something like that. So then once we all read it, we could do the kind of more formal book club. But... it was very, very cool, very great surprise to get, because we've kind of gotten some of these goodies in the past, but definitely wasn't expecting this one. So I just wanted to shout out to a fan of the show, Jeff, and the 343 and Scheinman and Schuster team. So more on that in the near future.
I wait patiently to see if we get a copy, because me and David got our first official book with the last novel. So we're now like waiting to see, does it happen again?
Yeah, we got Oblivion, so maybe we'll get.
I'm not holding my breath yet. For years, we didn't get anything, so I was like, all right, damn Americans.
We had set up everyone who was currently on the show with Galleria Books, because we got a contact from Jeff. And the Irish guys never got a copy, and I got copies, and Oren got a copy, but no one else. I just had the copies. I'm like, hey, guys.
I just always assumed they just didn't bother to send them internationally. It was just like, that's clearly all it is. These things happen.
We have to speed read it when it comes out. That's all.
Yeah, the only bad thing is that they put a sticker on their copies that says, like, you know, review copy, not for resale. And it's, like, always in, like, the middle of the cover, and it drives me nuts.
I didn't get one. I got a nice handwritten note telling me to enjoy my book.
Mm-hmm.
Mine have stickers on them.
Special.
Well, while Oren's computer explodes, we'll ask Crystal what she did in the last week.
I played Star Wars Squadrons.
Oh, did you? Tell me more.
It's really good. The mechanics are a bit more detailed than the ones in Battlefront 2. But if you're familiar with the mechanics in Battlefront 2, you'll really like Star Wars Squadrons. The campaign's pretty interesting because you go back and forth between the good guys and the bad guys. So you kind of are fighting yourself in a way. So you have like 3 or 4 missions as the bad guys, and then a couple missions as the good guys between, you know, the Republic and the Empire. So it's really cool. You also get the diversity of all the different ships. So there's like maybe 4 different ships for each faction, which is really fun. And some of the missions, the beginning missions, they just give you a ship. But in the later missions, you can kind of customize your ship and choose which variant to use and what kind of missiles to use and stuff like that. It's quite fun. I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I haven't gone into the multiplayer yet. I'm ready to get wrecked.
Woo.
I think that's a risk with all the multiplayers, as you jump into it and there's like a 5-minute window where everyone doesn't know how to play the game yet. And then it's like, nope, I'm no good now.
Yep, pretty much.
I might pick that up.
It's quite good. It's also like $40, so it's $20 under a normal game's price. And it's quite enjoyable. It's very immersive. It's very cool.
I was picking up, we were getting some groceries earlier, and I was sort of looking down the game section going, I hope it's here, but I couldn't find it anywhere, so I might have to go to an actual shop that sells games.
Or just get it digitally, and then you can game share it.
That is true. I do have 98% digital games. I could just do that.
Probably the better one.
Does EA Play give you any discount if you buy the game?
I think it does. I think it gives you a 10 or 20%.
Then I might hold out until I get free.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you really want to purchase the game, then maybe wait till November 10th when we have EA Play.
I'm not sure if the discount's gonna carry over though with Game Pass.
No, but I think you're an EA Play person, like from November 10th onwards, because they had in their article about like if you wanted to drop Pass but keep in EA Play, you can.
Yeah, those games aren't going to Game Pass. It's just Game Pass will give you the membership of EA Play.
Oh, okay.
I assume it's the same way they do like Spotify subscriptions and shit. They're just like, here, you're in this thing now. Because I've noticed a few of those like claim your Game Pass rewards, but usually none of them apply to me. This will be the first one I actually can use.
Yeah, it's basically a perk or whatever they're calling it, but it's like perks with Ultimate, whatever their branding is. It's kind of like you can get Spotify Premium for 3 months with Ultimate. It's kind of the same sort of perk.
I like it. Right, David, you do any Halos?
I did a small bit of Halos for Mission Debrief. We are almost done. We're in the DLC for Halo Wars 2. Stop laughing, Krista. That's pretty much it. I haven't played any Halo, but my brothers are playing Halo, which is very intriguing to me.
David, do you want to tell a story about last Mission Debrief?
No stories, Krista.
Wow, I don't even know about this.
Did David fuck it up?
So we have a very limited amount of time that we can actually record Mission Debrief because Colin's a very busy family man, and of course there's a time difference and stuff like that. So we get like maybe one window a week that we can record Mission Debriefs, and it's like a short 2-hour window. So we all get into the Skype together, and we're about to load up, and then we're talking about the mission. It's the last mission of the Spearbreaker, and David's like, oh, I played the wrong mission.
Nice.
And it's like a 30-minute mission. There was no way he could actually like play it and us still be able to record the mission. So he faked it the entire time.
David.
Yeah, I did a really good job though. I watched a 13-minute walkthrough video and I just kind of skimmed and I was like, oh yeah, this thing happens, then that thing happens.
Was that the Mission Debrief I literally just listened to there now?
Possibly.
The one that just went live.
Yeah, it's what is the one not on my watch?
Motherfucker, I did not have a clue you were faking it. That's disgraceful.
Yeah, I did a pretty good job.
Dude, there you go. Pat yourself on the back.
Nailed it.
I feel violated now.
It was just, I fucked it up. We had to commit, had to go through.
Well, I guess Colin's usually the moderator, but like sometimes you can get away with that being the host or the moderator to where you can kind of lead the conversation to then let the other people build on the kind of like through lines.
If you notice, Colin had me on point talking through the mission, and then he'd ask David just super simple questions throughout the, like, hey, David, what was your favorite unit to use? He's like, oh, it was the mantises. It was great. And then, like, every time I'd say something, David's like, yeah, I did pretty much the same thing as Krista.
Yeah, pretty similar to Krista is what I did. Yeah, pretty similar.
Yeah, Krista's tactic is, why use another one?
But so I played some mission debrief, just not the right one. So I started the Awakening Nightmare DLC, which I immediately loved. It's way better than the Spearbreaker one, because, you know, it's got blur cutscenes and like a cool story that kind of happens with these new characters you get to play as. So that was kind of fun. And my brothers have started to play Halo again, which is really exciting to me, getting my brothers back involved. So... my youngest brother is consistently playing Xbox, but my other brother, who's older than him, I don't know how you say that. It's my oldest brother, middle but brother? Younger than me. I don't know. Middle brother, yeah. That fellow has just taken my old Xbox, and he's literally taken it just to play Halo, and I think he wants to play Call of Duty to Zombies in the new game with my other brother. So very exciting, because now I'll get them involved back in Halo. So my youngest brother's now, he's playing through all the games one at a time, and he's never played Halo Reach, and he's never played Halo 5, and has just kind of sat down to play them this week, because he wants to get them out of the way before FIFA comes in, because he just obsesses over FIFA. So that's been pretty cool. So he's been really enjoying those games, which is kind of fun, because he wouldn't have played them since he was a kid with me. Like, it's kind of interesting to see, obviously, somebody 10 years later come to a game that they kind of barely half remember, to see what he thinks of it. He's having a good time. What else have I done? Obviously, we read Headhunters for our book club. That was good. Next, actually, I'm really excited for Mona Lisa.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to it and read it in a long time, and I know I'd forgotten there was a one hour fucking motion comic on it. So I have that saved in my to-watch list on YouTube, and I can't wait to actually sit and watch it. I'll read it as well, but like the watching it should be hella fun. Obviously with October and everything, it's got a nice themed proper Halo horror.
We'll talk about our timeline on when we're going to do that, but that'll be this month, and I think we're going to release it on Halloween.
Yes,
that's me. That's my Halos this week.
Right. Well, I can do this quick. I did no Halo this week. I have played Division 2 with David and Tom.
Yay.
We're now corrupting Tom and bringing him in. We peer pressured him into buying Division 2.
Dude, you guys straight up bullied him. I was there.
Yeah, we watched. We saw the whole thing.
It's £4. Who could say no to £4?
It's cheaper than a cup of coffee. Do it.
Yeah. And what we're going to do now is peer pressure him into paying full price for the DLC.
These are so mean.
He doesn't know that's coming yet, but it is.
Oh no.
You guys are so mean to him. We get another host that's in your time zone, and you're just bullying the shit out of him.
DeSoto is over here screaming with his hand held, play with me, play with me.
He'll have loads of fun. He was really enjoying it.
Is DeSoto a Division?
Yeah, DeSoto wanna play Division? Go and check. I think it might still be £4. It might be like the last day. Division 2. Come on, quick check. Oh, DeSoto has it. There we go.
Here you go. There's your 4 squad.
Oh my god, they're bullying so many people.
Let's see. The only other thing I did was I played some Sea of Thieves this evening just before I came on here with my nephew. So we are doing like the whatever the new Tall Tales thing is. So this basically revolves around me. I'm solving the clues and he spends his time shouting at me that I'm wrong.
Aww.
If I were to give an award for best quarantine game for like my experience, it would probably go to Sea of Thieves, because I played the beta and didn't touch the game until, I guess, May of this year when quarantine was like in full effect still. And I had so much fun. And it's so frustrating too, some of those tall tales, but like it's such a great cooperative game.
We were doing the one where you get the, what is it, like the Storm Shadow thingamabob to go to the Forbidden Shores or whatever, and you have to solve a puzzle in a room as it fills up with water.
Oh, right, yeah.
We got into the room and my nephew runs straight up to the table and goes, right, what do we do? And he looked and went, oh, I think we need to light these four things. So he runs around with his lantern and lights them. And he goes, oh, there's a button. I'm going to push it. And I'm like, maybe we should figure out what we need to do first. And then immediately the room starts to fill with water. So he's shouting at me down the headset going, it's flooding, it's flooding, it's flooding. And I'm frantically looking through the pages in the journal going, what the fuck are we supposed to be doing here? And I'm like, we have to solve a puzzle. Fuck. And then I was like figuring out what the mechanics of the puzzle were, and all I can hear is him shouting going, the water's getting higher, the water's getting higher, the water's, and I'm like, I can see the water's filling up, Brian, I need you to help me solve the puzzle. Oh, so infuriating.
He sounds like that Destiny player that runs into a raid room and just starts shooting. I'm like, all right, guys, we got to solve the puzzle.
Yep. It's just like, yeah, we've got to go fast now. So hang on, I got slightly sidetracked by the picture of DeSuto's garage.
It's kind of horrific. That's a very horrific picture.
Division 2 is somewhere in here.
Oh my god.
You guys aren't going to be playing together.
Yeah, we're not going to be playing here.
DeSuto, buy the game for £4. Don't worry about your disc. Just like write it
yeah,
off.
Yeah, just buy it again.
Will we bounce from that to the news?
Yeah, I guess we've been real sidetracked this episode.
It's all the live shows are like this. Don't worry, I'll trim the fat down and cut out all this stuff.
Perfect.
The final edit, there'll be 5 minutes of warm-up and that's it.
There you go.
Right, who's taking us through the news? Because it's not me.
I wrote it, so I'll do it. So, like we mentioned at the top of the show, Halo 3 ODST is now available on PC, which of course is your Steam and Windows 10 platforms if you play on PC. And if you are a console player, there was a huge update. We've covered it before. It's all over Halo Waypoint. There's a huge MCC September development update. You can read it, and it talks about the fancy stuff that they added. And it's so intense, it's so dense. So just check it out. But the gist of it is that there's updated matchmaking, updated settings for ODST Firefight, which is now in Master Chief Collection on all platforms. And they've added Season 3. It sounds weird just calling it Season 3, but it's effectively a Battle Pass. So there's a new Season 3 Battle Pass. And like I said, I saved up all my points and I just bought everything. It's pretty good. I like the content that's in there. And with the new with that game edition on the PC front, there's a new Oni Archives video. It's kind of a slight audio drama with some cinematic cutscenes put in to them on the YouTube, on Halo's YouTube channel. The more recent ones have kind of had a quick, like 1 to 2 minute sort of audio commentary at the end of the video. And so we got Oni Archives Helljumper for ODST. And I really like it compared to the other ones in the sense that like it kind of just gives you a sort of like abbreviated highlight of who the ODSTs are and like how they're different from Spartans and how they're different from like other military personnel. But it doesn't really touch on the story at all that ODST follows in New Mombasa, but it just really talks about who these characters and these types of military operatives are, and it kind of gives you a good profile and sort of in that regard. So I kind of really like that approach as opposed to recapping what happened in Halo 2 for the Oni's Archive video for Halo 2. But the end of the video, I think we should talk about for just a minute. I couldn't really understand what exactly was being said because it's very, very cryptic, but we essentially get our narrator receiving a communications from someone with a modulated voice. I don't know if one of you guys want to take it away from there, but like it's supposedly something Banished related because we had previous Oni Archives videos kind of hint at the Banished and kind of give us some sort of tease for what the story kind of setup is for Halo Infinite.
Banished? I didn't get Banished vibes from that. Well, to be honest, I wasn't really sure what I was listening to.
I'm just saying that, like, I think it was the Halo 3 one. I'd have to look it up, I guess. But one of the other videos gave kind of a more direct correlation between the Archives videos and, like, Halo Infinite, as it were.
I guess it does make sense that whatever they're releasing now is tying in some way to Infinite. It's, even if it's not Banished related, maybe it is only related to infinite. I don't really know what I'm trying to say, but I thought it would. My guess is that it's Dare. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Oh.
The female voice, which would be cool.
When people were talking about like wanting a codex, could the Oni archives be like a hint at, could we get like a narrated video clip codex for Infinite?
I don't know. Maybe there are audio file collectible things, and this is the kind of stuff you pick up to kind of piece together what happened in the past. These could be the collectible things you're finding, things like this. That'd be cool.
Would you be interested in something like this? Would you watch them or listen to them while you trundle about killing Covenant?
Definitely.
Also, shout out to Ian in the chat that just says, if only someone demodulated the audio, ...
Yeah, I think someone did that on this YouTube channel called Podcast Evolved. Let me pull it up.
Sounds lame.
I hear they're assholes.
Yeah.
Terrible people.
All I see are these book club videos.
If they like stepped above the terminals and were like, here's a codex and it's all narrated and we've got cool stuff in it and we'll tell you everything about everything to do with Halo, I'd go for some of that.
Well, I have the video here if we want to talk about it in greater detail. It's interesting. We'll see what happens with the Halo 4 one, and then I guess that's the last one.
If you want to fire the link in the chat, I can play it.
Oh, look at that. DeSudo found it. Look at him.
Through the power of needlessly complicated audio software.
Hooray.
Hopefully this works.
Hey, Parker's been trying to get a hold of you. Says you have a call on Thread 7.
Sorry, I had some things come up. Tell him I'll log in now. Authorization Bravo 6084.
Clearance?
Pantheon. Thread 7.
So, is this the standard Section 2 response time? Or am I just special?
I'm sorry, can I help you?
I wouldn't be calling otherwise. I need to know where you got the assets.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Look, I've got some backwater plans waiting for you to spoon-feed them some patriotism. Manipulation is your department, Agent. Finding information is mine. I already know what you have. I just need to know where you got it.
There we go.
I think that person's referencing some information that he receives at the end of the Halo 3 video, where someone goes to the narrator and is like, dude, check this out. And he goes, this doesn't make any sense. Where'd you get this? And he's like, we might have a new, something big is coming. And they kind of hinted and just leave it at that. But that was like right after that Banished communique was like released, where like confirmed the Banished. Anyway, I think that's just where the parallels were coming. I guess for some reason I thought it was not as cryptic as it, I guess it really is, to where it really doesn't tell us anything.
And that's definitely not a voice we've heard in Halo before. Just that tone. It's like a high male voice.
It's a little hard to tell with the distortion. I'm not 100% sure who it is. It probably is new person. Doesn't sound like anyone who has the UNSC in their good books.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see where it goes.
Yeah. Well, we get part 4, and then whatever comes out next year, I guess.
I feel like this would have been building up to something cool if things hadn't have been delayed, and now that everything's been delayed, it's all over the place, and I'm like not paying attention to it.
Well, let's move on to the Xbox news. So that's our Halo news. Basically, it's ODST all the way. Go play it. It's fun. It's a great game, great soundtrack. Xbox Series S and X pre-orders went live. Who pre-ordered what? Round table, Krista.
I pre-ordered my Xbox Series X. I was at work, and I was so furiously pressing the F5 button on Amazon that people wondered what was wrong.
Like around you at work?
Yeah. I ended up getting it. For whatever reason, Amazon and Best Buy's pre-orders went out an hour after they were supposed to be posted.
I think that it's better that it went an hour after than it was supposed to, rather than it coming an hour before than it was supposed to.
Yes, it was. So GameStop, Target, Walmart, and Microsoft were all very much live and very much sold out very quickly. Amazon and Best Buy were just radio silence until amazingly it just kind of popped up and I was able to pre-order it, but Amazon has sent me an email saying, oh, you might not get it on release date. It was more of like, due to the high order, high demand, you know, we're trying our best to fulfill all these orders. It's that corporate bullshit. So right now it's sitting at as ordered, but no delivery date as of yet.
No one seems to be set up to cope with the order chaos that comes from a big launch like this. Amazon and everywhere else, even fucking Microsoft's store went on fire all at the same time.
Yeah, I don't get it, because everyone knew this was going to be a huge thing. We just had the PlayStations one a week beforehand.
I think from listening to like smart people on podcasts talk about it, it's more to do with, it's not the website going down, it's like the bottleneck of the website talking to the payment system.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently that's what kills a lot of it, is you can have, it's that and the stock system. Apparently the three of them like interact, and then when this happens, it all goes mental, because you can only have the one stock system and it has a certain finite limit. It can only cope with so much traffic, and then the rest of it goes crazy. You get the website, which is fine, but then the stock system can't cope, so it can't tell you what stock you have, and then you can't get the payment system to run through, so it all just bursts into flames. Although, at least having it not work is better than what happened to some people that were applying. Did you hear about the All Access stuff and what happened to some people over in the UK?
Sometimes it just wasn't working, right?
Yeah, I think Colin got screwed too.
Better than it not working, it damaged their credit rating.
What?
It turns out that people were on the website and were trying to refresh it to get their order to go through, but the company that run the financing were submitting a new credit check every time you refreshed. So people were F5ing like crazy, and it sent their credit ratings mental.
That'll plummet your credit rating. Oh my God.
I think Microsoft made a statement and were like, we're looking into fixing this, but it was like, oh, oof, that's not what you want to hear when all you wanted to do was pay £20 a month for an Xbox.
Holy shit, yeah. I thought about getting one just because it is a better deal to like pay off the console over 2 years and get the 2 years of Ultimate, but I don't know, I just like having the box and being like, this is my box.
I don't mind paying for the ship monthly, but I might just save up, because I'm not trying to buy one now at launch. I'll probably save up and pick one up in time for Infinite next year and just keep using my One X for now. Like, it's going all right, so.
I don't like my money being yeeted out of my account from subscriptions every month.
I don't mind it. I just try not to have too many. The other thing I did hear, though, which I'm going to wait and see next year, because I did that three-year thing where like you could upgrade to Game Pass Ultimate for £1. But apparently some people have started to say that when you run out completely, you can do it again. So I need to look into this.
How do you do it again?
Apparently, once your Ultimate runs out completely and just clears, the offer becomes valid again for you. I don't know. I haven't seen it confirmed yet, but I've seen a few people.
That may not be true 3 years from now, though, Aaron. That's the only thing.
That's the only thing is, well, mine's up in September next year, so I'm kind of hoping that they'll keep that offer going for another while. If that's the case, that's the way to go.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Or at that stage, I might go monthly or whatever. I have to see what the options are. Ultimate's a little bit pricey.
Yeah, I don't think they've done a yearly yet. If they do end up doing a yearly, I'll just pay it off for the year.
I think I've been able to find like Amazon codes or something when they go on sale for like buy one, get one free. I think they had one of those sales a couple months ago. I think it was a 3-month code. So I bought one code for full price for like $45. And I got another code for free. And I think I did the trick that when you apply a code and then you turn on auto billing, auto renew and all that, it gives you 1 month free. And then after you do that, you just turn off auto billing and do your next code. And then it'll ask you the same prompt and give you another month free. So then effectively I got 8 months for the price of 3.
Very nice.
I kind of just, I look out for those kind of sales because it's probably as effective as doing the whole upgrade one after you have 3 years of live.
I was stacking my live for the 3 years to get the, like, to do the Game Pass thing, but I took the one free month every time I renewed my 12 months, and then I found out I couldn't renew my last 12 months because instead of having 24 months, I had 26. And then I had to go and buy like a 6-month code and some 1-month codes, and it was a whole pain in the arse. Do remember that if you're going to do like the 3 years of Ultimate, you can only have 3 years of Xbox Live and not a month more. And the free months do count and they will fuck you on it.
Yeah. So Aaron or Oren, you didn't pick up a Series X or anything.
So yes, I did not pre-order one. I did not try to pre-order one. I was at work and I was like, do I really want to try? But at the end of the day, or in that moment rather, I was just like, you know what? I wanted a Series X on launch day so that I could play Infinite on the Series X because I didn't want to play it on my One X and then like upgrade later and like I wanted to just be straight out of the box, like I only experience it on the Series X. But after it got delayed, I started thinking, do I really need to have it at launch day? And although I do want it, but just because of the short supply, it running out, the uncertainty, all this other kind of stuff, I'm just going to probably wait till Christmas. I'm also back to work from quarantine and like, you know, shutdown and all that kind of stuff. So then my playtime is probably back to what it will normally be, which is pretty much on the weekends. So I figure it'll come out in November. All the stuff will come out. I'll continue to work. And then when I take, you know, the kind of winter break for 2 or 3 weeks from the job, then hopefully there's some in stock. And that's when I would probably try to get it. And if it's completely sold out, well, then that's just on me. But my thinking is that they'll probably have more in stock in line for the kind of Christmas holiday and New Year's. I'll probably get it around then and then still experience all the cool games that are out. You know, Cyberpunk and The Medium are two games I really want to play.
That's probably a good enough choice slash idea. I got up that morning because to pre-order. I was in work anyway, so it was kind of fine. And I just went in with the mentality of, if I get one, cool. If I don't get one, grand. It's not the end of the world because not like Halo's not a launch game. I'm not overly pushed with anything. So I went in, I got one. Well, I say I got one. I got a pre-order. Whether or not I actually get a console is another thing. But we'll see as we go from there again. I'm not overly pushed. You know, if I get one, I'm pretty happy. The kind of the preview stuff that's out at the moment is pretty exciting. You know, it's all about like load times and stuff and it sounds awesome. So I'm kind of down with that. But I'm pretty excited for it. Like, I think it is going to be like a pretty incredible kind of console.
Yeah, all the hands-on stuff I've seen this last week gets me sort of excited for. The one I read that like impressed me was the load times in Red Dead 2 go from 2 minutes and 10 seconds to 38 seconds.
That's pretty cool.
And that's a game that I don't think it's optimized or anything. That's just how much faster it loads.
Yeah, the major testament will be current, or I guess next-gen games. Because like one of the big things that I took away from the PlayStation communication for their like their power and SSD was just like how they're able to load New Worlds in like literally 2 seconds. And it's just like the way you can open up games and design games to kind of have these hidden loading screens, like that barrier just kind of goes away. And so it'll be interesting if there'll be new problems that will come up with this. And then also just to see how quickly things just load on these new next gen games.
The thing it made me think of is that Halo Infinite demo. I know like it was shown to be like a live demo, but do you really think that there could be the possibility that that press play screen to the video plane was the actual loading time of Infinite on the Series X? Do you think it loads that fast?
I don't know. I think it's way too seen too far to really tell, but I do think that Halo Infinite could be in the same pool as like Red Dead Redemption, where you boot up the game and you have, you know, one loading screen to get into the world, and then from there you're fine. Everything else loads real time as you're playing to get to wherever you need to go, and you can go from one end to the other, and you don't have to go to those classic barriers or go through the serpent. Like when you think about traversing areas in like Destiny, like you kind of go through a little soft zone that then loads the rest of the world behind it.
Shimming through cracks and cliffs is always a good one.
Yeah. So whatever the fix is from what we know, presumably that will all go away. So say you have a 15 to 30 second load when you boot up Halo, but then now you're in the game and you can start missions and fast travel and all this other kind of cool stuff, and it all happens instantly.
That would be cool. Speaking of load times and hard drives, you have it here. What do we think of the price of the external like hard drive card thing from Seagate?
Oof.
Yeah, big oof.
I mean, everybody and the like other smart people on other podcasts that you would listen to, they make it sound, they're reasonable based on what's actually available now and like the level of technology and stuff. And it seems like that's just what this shit costs. That's fine. I understand that it's an expensive piece of gear, but like it's almost half the price of a console and it's 2/3 the price of the Series S. Realistically, I'm not going to get one, and I'm pretty okay with juggling. I mean, I have a good few games installed on my Xbox, and I like to keep games installed because then it kind of thing, it's like, this is my to-do list, and it's a great sense of satisfaction I get when I uninstall a game. So I'm like, I'm fucking done with it. Let's get it off. It's gone. I'm probably just going to have to live a life with less things installed. And obviously, Halo will always be installed. So the worry is, how big's Halo Infinite compared to how much of the 1 terabyte do you actually get to use? Maybe, but I think they're saying about 800 is actually available.
Oh, really? Only 800?
Yeah, I think the OS is pretty big.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant for the SD card or the memory card, the expansion card. Now, the expansion card's probably closer to the full 1 terabyte. Yeah, the actual memory of the SSD for the in-unit one, yeah, will be probably 8 something.
I mean, we're maybe, what are we talking, 100 gig game for Infinite?
I don't know, because a lot of people seem to be suggesting that they'll be smaller.
Well, they were saying that like they're more efficient now, the way that the SSDs allow you to be more efficient with your memory. So like you could have a game that was 100 gigs and the exact same game, maybe it's 60 gigs on next time. Now, those are just numbers I pulled out of my fucking head. I believe that, but I don't know if we're going to see if the differences are so big that we're going to save that much space.
I read a thing where Sony were saying that their compression and storage technology means that a game like Modern Warfare, it's like 200 gig at the minute. And I think they said that comfortably think they could compress that down to 60.
No way.
It seems like dark magic. I don't know. This is what they're talking about. Some of it sounds like when you listen to them talk about like the Mega Drive and shit, and they were talking about blast processing. They sound like words and things that are never actually going to come to anything. They were talking about they have like compression technology and other stuff, but like I was thinking, if Infinite's 100 gig on an Xbox One, I was kind of hoping it would be like 70 on a Series X. And then it'll be smaller on a Series S if you get one of those. I think Microsoft said games will be about 30% smaller because they're not going to have the 4K textures.
That's fair. And that's a good point with the whole optimized for whatever platform you're playing on.
If we cut a third off it on next gen, like if they were a third smaller, I'd be all right. 70 gigs, a big game, but it's not an insane game. The same with Master Chief Collection. If they can slim that down on next gen that it loses 20 gig, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, I'd have to look and see what the final tally is for Master Chief Collection, but I think it's like 130 right now. I feel like Infinite should try to stay under 100. One game hitting the 100 threshold, and if that's some sort of standard, then you can only have 5 of those, maybe only 4 of those, if you have a Series S. If I had to just throw a dart at a wall, I would probably say between 50 and like 80.
The only thing is, I've seen Digital Foundry and a few people put up the load times to transfer games from the Series X to different external hard drives. And to be fair, for like a 60 gig game, I think they said roughly 7-ish minutes to a hard drive, which is pretty good. It takes a lot longer at the minute to transfer a game from an internal drive on an Xbox One to an external drive. And I think if you get an external SSD, even though you couldn't play your game off it, I think you can transfer pretty chunky games in like 3-ish, 4-ish minutes. You could cold store a lot of games on a hard drive and just swap them over as you need to.
That's my plan.
The thing I was kind of hoping they might do is give us the ability to control our storage through the Xbox app. If your console's in like standby mode, it would be nice to have like a Dropbox page where you could go, right, move that game to the internal drive and pull this game off, and then by the time you get home, it would be moved.
Yeah, that sounds
That'd be really cool.
Something like that, just to make it ease of use, would be nice, because you can kind of do that at the minute with Game Pass. If you go to the Game Pass app and select a game, you can tell it if you want to install it. And I'm pretty sure the last time I did it, it gave me a prompt and asked me, did I want to install it on the internal or the external? They're getting closer to managing your games and your stuff there.
Yeah, and if they're going to be pushing this new collective interface to where the new mobile app talks much more directly to the console, like I can feel that that step is not that far off from where we are right now.
Shit, I've had a fantastic idea, but I can't do it because I have an iPhone. You could stream your console to your, you know, the way you can stream it with like the not cloud version of Game Pass or
Xbox. I don't think that's ready yet. Console streaming is I don't think it's ready.
Is that still in beta or is that live?
No, you can do it.
You can do that now?
Console stream?
Or from your phone? Yeah.
From your home, yeah.
But can you stream any games on your Xbox to your phone? Not the games that are available.
Oh, I don't think it's every game, but I think what Aaron is saying is that you remote into your Xbox and then select the storage and move it over.
Oh, you can definitely do
Rather
that,
than playing the game, you're just navigating the operating system.
I never even thought of that, but then that just came to me there now. I was like, fuck, I'm going to have to buy an Android phone now.
Haha, join us.
Buy one.
I might have to do this yet. Stupid Apple.
Yeah, stupid Apple, but I can't swap phones.
I think they might be bringing that version of game streaming to iOS because that's allowed under the terms of service. I think you're just not allowed to stream shit from the cloud, but you can do it from a hosted machine. That's why you can do remote desktop apps for PC and all. So I think that version I might get. That would be handy. Do we want to talk about the big news?
Yeah, I think so. We'll kind of wrap up with this. But of course, if you remember what happened last week, Microsoft acquired Bethesda, the whole freaking studio. That's comprised of what, like six other studios, if not more. And they make all of their games: Dishonored, Wolfenstein, Elder Scrolls, Fallout, Doom, Starfield, Evil Within, and Prey. Those are kind of the big double and triple A games, and then all their other sort of smaller games are technically now under the Microsoft umbrella. I think we talked about this a little bit on Twitter, and it was all the rage this past week, or I guess last week, whenever it kind of came out. But it really came from nowhere. The only thing that kind of related was there was talk about Warner Brothers, or I think AT&T, wanting to sell Warner Brothers Media, and like Microsoft and other companies were in talks of just like maybe acquiring it, but that kind of fell through, and so everyone was like, oh, okay. But like, this is huge from a gaming point of view, just because of how much the publisher of Bethesda puts out into the video game economy.
True. They publish some weird stuff, which I love.
They now own like the two most republished games ever, because Skyrim's on fucking everything and Minecraft's on everything. If ever there were two games that were put on every device, it's them.
Yeah, and I did see a funny post of, you know, the Xbox social medias are like on fucking point. They just quoted Todd Howard, and Todd Howard had said, like, if you stop buying Skyrim, we will stop putting Skyrim out on everything. And Xbox replied, Microsoft has bought Bethesda to stop Todd Howard republishing Skyrim. So it's just like, they're pretty funny, like, just the stuff that they come out with. But yeah, there's absolutely going to be Skyrim on next gen.
I saw someone do like a piss take post from Todd, and it was like, haha, so you thought you were going to stop buying Skyrim. Turns out I'm going to stick it on Game Pass. So you're going to buy it forever without it wanting to.
Yeah.
That makes sense. This is big shit. Like, I did not expect this at all.
It came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it really did. It's a whopper of a fucking thing.
Do you guys think that the super mega AAA games will find their way as a multiplat? Or do you think Microsoft takes those and holds on to them and makes kind of the more AA games multiplat? Because I think they said in a statement that exclusivity will be a case-by-case basis.
I feel like Starfield might be an exclusive.
Yeah, I feel like Phil kind of said that as a nice way to have not people shit the fucking bed at the moment. But I think, and obviously kind of free up any kind of marketing deals or deals they wanted going with Sony coming up. But like, I think you don't spend that kind of money for Game Pass.
Yeah, just to put your games on Game Pass. You buy IPs with that amount of money. I agree.
Elder Scrolls 6 exclusively on Xbox and PC will be devastating for Sony.
That is huge. And then obviously, even if they didn't go exclusive, because everyone says you're leaving so much money on the table. And yeah, it probably does look good if you're advertising your game going $70 or €70 on PlayStation 5 free on Game Pass. That does look good in terms of, like, you're obviously, even in advertising a game for PlayStation, you're getting a dig in on how good Xbox is and that you're getting a better deal over there. So I understand, like, that looks good, but $7.5 billion looks good. I don't know.
I kind of have that feeling, like, one part of me goes, like, if you want to make the most money, you do it like Minecraft and you put Skyrim 2 on everything because Skyrim 2, and you call it Skyrim 2 and you just, like, fully lean into it and go mad. But the other part of me is like, they spent more on this than Marvel spent or than Disney spent on Star Wars.
And there's a theme park for Star Wars now.
Yeah, I'm thinking if you want to make your money back, you make them exclusive and you go, you motherfuckers get Game Pass. And that's how you play your Skyrim. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of 70 quids to be made on PlayStation. So I don't know. I could see them on the big stuff. I see them going either way, but I definitely see the likes of Doom and Wolfenstein just going exclusive from now on, because I don't think they're the most colossal sellers ever. So the smaller stuff immediately gets absorbed. And Starfield, because there's nothing to it yet that we've seen, apart from one leak of a ship that may or may not be in it, I could see that being exclusive. This is new, you just get it on Xbox.
What about timed exclusivity? What if Elder Scrolls 6 and Fallout 5 are like a year exclusive?
It could work, but at the same time, I think David's idea of you just go, you can pay 70 quid for this, or you get it as part of your subscription.
Yeah, that's my kind of mindset. It's like, oh, I just bought my third Bethesda game, but my Xbox friends over here are playing it for their subscription. I feel like there will be a point in the future to where PlayStation or PC users will be looking at, they're like, oh, I want to play all these games, but I don't need to spend 70 quid or $70 every time. I could just have a Game Pass subscription. And I feel like those gamers will be that'll be like the swing decision for them to move over and get Game Pass.
And you're going to have this thing where they're just going to be like, you can play it on your phone. Skyrim seems like the sort of game where a bit of phone lag isn't going to really kill your experience. You can pay for a month of Game Pass Ultimate and see if you like it. Just have a go at it.
Yeah, so I definitely think it's a mixture of both things that David said, because at the end of the day, you don't spend that kind of money just for Game Pass day one. Well, anyway, that's the news. Pretty big stuff, but also not a whole lot to talk about, I guess.
Enough for an episode, enough for an hour.
We just need to get more next-gen information. There is like a... they had like a hands-on thing in Japan for the PS5, but it doesn't seem like too much has come out of it, apart from a load of photos of Japanese influencers standing in front of a PS5 that they were clearly told you can't touch.
I think a bunch of people have gotten their Xboxes.
It's loads of Xboxes out in the wild now, yeah. They're heavily embargoed, though.
They can take, like, selfies with them. So if you go on Twitter, you're going to see a lot of influencers taking selfies with their Series Xs. And then it seems like the only thing they're allowed to talk about right now is load times, because that's what everyone's commenting on right now.
Load times and only certain games they're allowed to talk about,
because usually these embargoes, they're like a document that you get when you get the product, and it tells you, like, dates and times when you can start talking about stuff. So I'm sure right now the embargo has lifted on load times. We want you talking about load times. The next one might be menus and integration, and that's the next thing they can talk about. And then probably one of the last things are going to be, like, you know, souped up graphics and stuff like that.
The guy from Windows Central, Tom Warren, I think it is, I think he said that later this week, the number of games they're allowed to talk about, it might just be the back compat stuff, but it goes up to like 200 titles. So we might get a little more information then on like what works and how it works and stuff like that. People want to see next-gen games, and I'd imagine we'd have seen that sooner if Halo had been coming out. So I don't know what is their next-gen game at the show. What is it?
The medium.
Medium? Yeah, maybe medium. I know Cyberpunk is eventually going to be getting integration or a souped up.
Yeah, but they said that's not at launch, though. Assassin's Creed, I guess. That's a big for both PS5 and...
I mean, Destiny 2 has their next expansion coming on the same day as the launch. And Shadowkeep, like, Destiny 2 right now is on Game Pass.
Are they getting next-gen updates? Are they being optimized for X? Are they?
I want to say it was confirmed that it's going to come out the same day, but I'm not sure.
Okay, cool.
Did it get delayed? I thought I remembered reading something about Destiny getting pushed back slightly.
It got delayed from September. I don't know if it's since been delayed from November.
Maybe that is the delay I missed then, but I vaguely remember something about delay.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out probably like the second week of September, like Destiny games usually do, but then they pushed it back to November 10th, and then I think it just worked out that that's the launch of the Series X, and it's going to be on Game Pass, so you can literally buy your console and then play the Destiny 2 new expansion.
I'm looking forward to that. I think I'll jump back in and have a go, because the last one just didn't do anything for me at all, so I might bounce back in for a bit and see what the new one's like.
Destiny's literally a raid game for me. I only play the raids.
I've only played the raid once, and that was it. I had my go at it, and I was happy enough. Right, will that do us? Will we wrap the show?
Yeah, I think it sounds good. I reckon so. Yeah.
We have a little bit of what's coming up in Evolved Life to talk about. Our last Road to Infinite episode is the next one, isn't it? Is this our last one for now?
No, so we just recorded Sentinels that came out like 2 weeks ago, and then in the next week or two, we'll release our last one of the year, which is called Prometheans. Kind of will round out our kind of look at all the possible factions that we could play in Halo Infinite. And then we'll pick up the Road to Infinite sometime in 2021 to kind of kickstart our hype train back up to the release, which will probably be after E3.
By the time you listen to this episode, our next book club, Headhunters, will have dropped. That's currently in the can at the minute. And then the next one we're due is Mona Lisa. So that'll be ready for spooky season.
Yay!
And I'm not sure what the Builds with Block guys are up to next, because they're getting lots of new shit all over the place. So the Halo merch machine just kept rolling even though Infinite got delayed. There's stuff coming out all over the place. So keep an eye on the YouTube and Tom and the guys and see what's coming up there. All right, I think then that will do us for this week. Like we said at the start of the show, visit the website, halopodcastevolve.com, and you'll find links to everything we do, including the Discord. And you can join us for more live shows. It's also got links to the Facebook group and the Patreon page, as well as the Xbox Live Club, in case you want some people to play a firefight with. It's very handy. If you want to leave us a voicemail, you can do that. We will play them on the live shows, assuming they're not dodgy. Seriously inappropriate. You have to do a lot for us to consider it inappropriate, or reading out your credit card numbers.
No, we want them to read out their credit
cards. We will just keep those for personal use.
If you want us to sign you up for a Patreon subscription, just give us your credit card information, the three numbers on the back, and your billing zip code, and everything will be great.
Yay!
We can do that. And the number to leave those voicemails to is 205-EVOLVE. That's 205-386-5833. And you can leave us voicemails there, and we will love you.
Love.
I have been your host, Aaron. And until next time, Evolved.
Evolved! Evolved.